T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Into the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks so much for joining me. We're going till 3 o'clock. We'll be back in tonight with our high school football show, 9 to 11. And I would also encourage you to go online to our website at 97.3thefansd.com. I put a vlog up there. I went up yesterday morning, and I think you'll find it rather interesting regarding the situation with the Chargers in Los Angeles. And again, go to our website at 97.3thefansd.com. Also encourage you to download our radio.com app. You can hear all the talk shows. If you're out of town, you can listen to our Thursday night high school football show, our Friday night high school football broadcast. And, of course, our Twitter, 97.3thefansd, 97.3thefansd. My personal Twitter account, at CoachCantara44, at CoachCantara44. As we promised going to the top of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the Padres. And, you know, in a lot of ways, Braden, this is a very slow day in the world of sports. We got a football game tonight that, you know, some of our listening audience are probably excited about. It's the Thursday night game. We're going to carry it here on 97.3 The Fan, Chargers, Raiders. But in a lot of ways, kind of a slow sports day here in San Diego. You know, I'd kind of like for A.J. Preller to, you know, make an announcement on if Darren Balsley's coming back as the pitching coach or who the hitting coach is going to be, you know. Or make a trade today, maybe, and get people livened up a little bit. But, you know, I was reading in the paper this morning, Hunter Renfroe and Denelson Lamet, they're going to be what they call super twos. Normally, you have to have 3 full years in the big leagues to be arbitration eligible, but they were granted super two status, so they're eligible for arbitration this year. And you look at Hunter Renfroe, hit .216 this last year, 64 RBIs. He did hit 33 home runs. And most of that damage was done prior to the All-Star break because he had a dismal second half of the season. But he's due to make, with an increase in arbitration, $3.4 million. $3.4 million. And Denelson Lamet, he was making, you know, pretty much just a little bit under $600,000. His numbers were 3-5, a 4.07 ERA. And he's going to get a raise from what we're hearing right around the number of $1.7 million. He's going to get about almost $1 million raise, and he was 3-5 with a 4.07 ERA. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works either. That seems pretty well, it works out well for Lamet. I mean, you got 4.07 ERA, you turn into a Super 2 eligible player, and all of a sudden you get a huge pay raise. That's probably nice for him.
You look at Hunter Renfroe, .216 average, 64 RBIs, 33 bombs, a .289 on base percentage this year for Hunter Renfroe, and he's going to make probably $3.4 million. You know what? I think Hunter Renfroe is probably not going to be with the ball club. I don't think they want to pay him $3.4 million.
He's also a pretty good trade piece as well. You know, you've seen a lot of people weighing in their trade ideas, right? We were talking about that yesterday. But Hunter Renfroe's it might be a good trade piece for the San Diego Padres. Yeah, $3.4 million for him. Out of the two guys, I think the guy that deserves the pay raise more is probably Hunter Renfroe over to Denelson Lamet. Denelson Lamet's only played he's even played a full season combined with the he had to go out with Tommy John surgery, and then, you know, having the stats that he does. I'm really interested to know why he was upgraded to a Super 2, but for me, Hunter Renfroe, that might be a trade piece for the Padres. I don't know. We keep talking about all these trades and everything that the Padres might do, but, you know, it might take a while before baseball offseason starts getting to fire it up with the hot stove. It's a very ice-cold stove right now.
You and I are both, we RSVP'd yesterday. We're going to the big event on Saturday night out there at Petco Park. I can't wait to see what these uniforms are going to look like. And, you know, I saw the brown hat last week. I don't know if that brown hat's going to come into play or not. But I am excited about the Padre uniforms. I don't know where the fans are. A lot of the fans want brown. I mean, you see what I'm wearing today.
I know you got the brown on. You wore the brown in your vlog, too. A lot of people were commenting on your attire saying they need that pullover you have, which is a nice pullover. I don't mind the brown. I think whatever they do, it just better be better than the last couple of years, because the uniforms have been very subpar, if you ask me, in terms of Major League Baseball uniforms. I don't mind the brown. I just think we need a little bit of a change up. I'm more of a fan of the blue and orange, but I think for everybody that's a Padres fan, it's whatever uniform they were wearing when you were growing up seems to be their the favorite of the color scheme. Because I know for us young Gen Z millennial type people, we like the blue and orange from the 90s when Tony Gwynn was playing for the San Diego Padres against the Yankees in the World Series. Those are the uniforms I remember the most, you know, as a kid growing up. But if you ask people like maybe my dad or yourself, it's probably more, you know, the brown and gold uniforms or some more to the brown uniforms that the Padres had. And I think that's the majority of the fans here in San Diego. Whatever uniform the Padres were wearing when you were a kid growing up is usually the one that you like the most.
You know, it's going to be interesting. We'll have a lot of stories to tell on Monday when we come in after going to this event on Saturday night. I mean, this is a 6-8 event. I believe that there'll be a pretty good chunk of the media there. I know a lot of the talk show hosts here from 97.3 The Fan. A lot of people that actually work here are going to be going to this event. And we're going to be getting a lot of things out. I know you're going to go down there and send a lot of stuff out digitally, aren't you?
Yep, I'll be got you fully covered on the fan account, videos, photos, the total unveiling of the new uniforms. I'm excited to see what they look like. I'm excited to see, you know, the pairings. And I really hope they use that swinging friar in the uniform scheme, but not just like a shoulder patch. But I'd love to see one of the swinging friar hats or used in a bigger role.
I used to have a swinging friar hat. I love the swinging friar. Swinging friar is my favorite Padre logo of all time, and I hopefully, you know, it's going to be somewhere on the uniform. You know, they could actually put it probably on a hat, you know, maybe a neutral type hat. That'd be kind of cool. But they need to have that friar, at least the patch on one of the sleeves, I would certainly think.
I don't know why you'd put it on the banners, you know, that they use for press conferences and not have it part of your uniform scheme. I mean, it seems like that was the logo that they kept, you know, teasing for the new brown is back and going back to the brown and gold. I'd love to see that hat. You know, the hat I saw, because everybody's making their own mock-ups of what they think the uniforms are going to be. There's one hat in particular that I would buy right now, right this second, if it was officially a Padres hat. You remember the All-Star hats they had, the brown and then the white in the front?
Right.
So if you get a hat like that, and then you put the swinging friar as the logo, I'd get one of those right now.
You know, one of the things I saw, because we got a long, you know, long email yesterday about, you know, where we're supposed to go, where the fans are going to go, what time we have to be here, what time we got to be there. The one thing I did see, the Padres store, I think, is going to stay open until about 9 o'clock that night. So a lot of people are going to be able to go right from this event right to the Padres store and get all their new gear.
Yeah, that's going to be a long line, hopefully. Well, hopefully it's a long line, right? If they hit the uniforms out of the park, it'll be a long line of fans trying to get as much gear as they possibly can. If not, if the line's short, that means they probably didn't hit the uniforms out of the park. But I'm excited to see the new uniforms, the new color scheme, and what have you. There's another big question about whether or not they're going to change all the blue in the stadium to brown. Now, that's an interesting topic of discussion as well. You're going to replace all the blue seats with brown seats? I don't think it's very necessary to do, but that'd be an interesting look.
That'd be a very interesting look, but we'll be able to give you all the breakdown on that Monday when we come in here. You know, Braden, I'm kind of wondering who's going to be the first general manager out there to really swing a big deal. I saw today the Atlanta Braves are going to go full force after Madison Bumgarner, and that's not good because I think that's the guy the Padres need to be going after.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you get Bumgarner here, it would, I think, change the dichotomy of this ball club. You're going to bring a toughness to the ball club. And, you know, I've been saying all week about Bumgarner and a guy like Zach Wheeler. Those are the two guys would be, I think, front runners. You know, somebody texted me and said, well, what if they give Strasburg $200 million? Well, if you give Strasburg $200 million, you know, what else are you going to be able to bring in?
Exactly. Well, the thing is, we don't know. People that write blogs, people that write articles don't know. Other radio stations, other TV stations don't know. Nobody knows, really, how much money the Padres have, because at the end of the day, they're already over the budget of what they've usually spent on contracts and what have you. We've heard, some clips from Peter Seidler about, you know, if it's a big money contract that makes sense, you know, we'll look into it and what have you. But, you know, we don't know how much money they got to spend. Maybe they can spend as much as, maybe not as much as like the Dodgers, the Red Sox, or the Yankees, but maybe they can spend as much as the Astros. Maybe they can spend as much as the Nationals. We just don't know it yet. Every single year we've talked about with this new ownership in the offseason how, you know, well, the Padres don't have the money to get Eric Hosmer. Bam, they got Eric Hosmer. Oh, they don't have the money to get Manny Machado. Wow, there's Manny Machado. So, you know, you never know. I'm really interested to see how this plays out for the offseason. And I hope it starts picking up soon, and I hope we start getting reports from John Heyman and all the insider Ken Rosenthal's and what have you start tweeting out different ideas and different things that they're hearing around the rumor mill involving the San Diego Padres. Because there is one thing for sure. Whether or not the Padres get some of these guys, I know they're going to be linked to some big names that you're not really expecting.
Well, I would certainly agree with that, but I saw that this morning, and I knew that Atlanta was really high on Bumgarner. They actually were trying to trade for him before last year's trading deadline, and the Giants at that time were playing well, and they didn't want to trade that chip. They ended up making a deal with Atlanta where Mark Melancon went over there and ended up being the closer. But Bumgarner's going to have, I think, some suitors out there. I mean, we were talking the other day, and somebody goes, oh, it seems like he's about 35 or 36 years old. He's 30 years old. He just turned 30. He's a young guy, but he's got a lot of mileage on that arm.
Before last season started, he was the hot arm that everybody was going to go after in the offseason, and all of a sudden Strasburg and Garrett Cole have these tremendous playoff pushes on World Series teams. Strasburg opts out. Garrett Cole's a free agent, and all of a sudden they've totally plummeted Bumgarner down the list of free agents. It's almost like people forget that Madison Bumgarner is a free agent. I mean, everybody before the season started said, are the Giants going to trade this guy? This is going to be the player that everybody's going to want at the trade deadline. Giants ended up hanging on to him. And after that, you know, the appeal of Madison Bumgarner has gone way down. But I'm telling you right now, if the Padres end up with the offseason having Madison Bumgarner on their team in Peoria in 2020 to start the season, that's a pretty good offseason and pretty good bolster to your starting rotation.
Hey, I want to remind everyone, coming up at 1:35, this is a can't-miss interview. Jim Stieg, former longtime executive in the NFL and former executive vice president and chief operating officer of the San Diego Chargers. When he was in charge of the Chargers, they had 48 consecutive sellouts, I do believe. He had enough. He walked away from the Chargers and now actually lives in North Carolina. He was on that nine-member committee of CSAG. We're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about the London rumors with the Chargers coming up at 1:35. Probably the most intelligent man I've ever talked to about the world of sports. Jim Stieg joining us at 1:35. When we come back, we'll get you a preview of the Thursday night game, Chargers-Raiders. You're going to hear it right here on 97.3 The Fan, back after a quick timeout. /121 on a Thursday. And, Bray, we got some big news here to announce. This just came down via our great program director, Adam Klug. Make that announcement, because, man, I'm fired up about this one.
We got very exciting news. On Saturday, we're going to be airing the number 2 LSU at number 3 Alabama football game. The game will be on live on 97 Through the Fan at 12:30 Pacific time. You can also listen to the game on the radio.com app.
Oh, that's great news. That's great news for football fans driving around San Diego and Southern California. They can tune in to 97.3 The Fan here, LSU, Alabama. Who you like in that game?
It's at Alabama, right?
Yes.
I like the Crimson Tide. I like Nick Saban at home.
How about that goofy tweet that came out early this morning about it came from a Florida State fan down there? The Nick Saban is all but signed, sealed, and delivered to Florida State. Are you kidding me? He's not leaving Alabama for Florida State.
No, there's no validity to that tweet. I sent it to you that because I thought it was hilarious. My favorite part of college football is every time a big program or a program that thinks they're really a big program has a coaching vacancy, they think they could get the best coach to leave whatever school they're at and then come back and coach for them. I always see it all the time when like the Tennessee Volunteers are talking about how they're going to swoop Gary Patterson away from TCU, and I just sit there and chuckle and I laugh.
So we got the big ball game coming up at 12:30, LSU going into Alabama. We'll have it for you right here on 97.3 The Fan. Also coming up in the next 30 minutes, you need to listen for your name to be called and give us a call back. We had our winner call in again yesterday. Today you'll win a pair of tickets to see Dana Carvey at Harrah's Resort SoCal on February 1st and be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience. Dinner for those at the uniquely Las Vegas Oscars Steakhouse and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/VegasFan to enter. Again, we'll throw that name out here in the next 30 minutes. And want to remind everyone that we've got Bench the Coach coming up. Bench the Coach today. Once again, Braden, I believe we have... a pair of tickets to see the Aztecs take on Fresno State on Friday night, November 15th. So I'm 2-1 on the week. So, you know, if I can get today, I'll finish at better than 500. I'll be batting 750 going into Friday.
And today's question is Holiday Bowl themed. It is Holiday Bowl themed. So know some facts about the Holiday Bowl.
Okay, and again, we got Jim Steed coming up. And this is an interview you do not want to miss, okay? Because Jim Steeg, he knows where the bodies are buried when it comes to the Chargers and the National Football League. He worked for over 30 years with the NFL, put on, and I think Wikipedia says 26 Super Bowls. I think he actually put up 27 where he was the head guy, you know, from one thing to the other. He was in charge of everything. But right now, I want to get you a little preview of the Charger game tonight against the Raiders. Going to be right here on 97.3. The Fan. The kickoff will be right around 5:20. You've got the 4-5 Chargers, 1.5-point favorites tonight going into Oakland. The Raiders right now at 4-4. Here's John Gruden on hating playing Thursday night football games.
It's hard to prep for them when you don't really know who's on your team. You know, we've had so many changes, it's tough to do that. I hate this. I don't believe in this Thursday football. I'm not going to be on my soapbox any more than that. It hurts us. Hurts both teams, obviously, the preparation. We take a lot of pride in getting our guys ready to play. We need a little time to do that, but a lot of people disagree with me, obviously, so it'll be a challenge.
Well, I don't disagree. Some of these Thursday night games, Braden, have been just absolutely awful, and, you know, I think there's a way they could do these Thursday night games to where, you know, they could give whoever plays on Thursday night, you give them a bye or you give them, you know, that extra time off one way or the other. There's a way you could do it where they don't have to play on a short week.
Yeah, it comes down to the NFL wanting more games and wanting to control every single night of the week and wanting to control every single month of the year. And that's flat out what it is. And the thing that hurts it is they then make moves that they think is for, you know, they try to play the player safety card. And in reality is they ruin their own game with the player safety rules that they make in. And then they continue to have games in London. And they continue to have Thursday night games. And then they want to do these. And then they have the Saturday games coming up during the wintertime. Look, I really like watching Thursday night football because it's an NFL game.
Well,
on a
we
Thursday
like football.
Night, right? Because we like football.
We don't have to play in it.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you don't have to play in it. I remember, like, again, I played high school football and how sore I was on a Saturday after a Friday night game. I can't imagine the pain and the soreness that these guys go through after a Sunday of football and then to get ready for a Thursday game on a short week. I mean, I don't know how they continue to do that. So it's really a tough thing for the NFL players, especially to do the Thursday night games. I know it's a big topic of discussion, and then of course they want to throw in an 18 game schedule on top of that. I don't know. I don't see that working out too well for the NFL.
I don't see the 18 game schedule. Players Association isn't going to buy off on that. Here's John Gruden talking about how the Raiders are going to have their hands full dealing with Joey Bosa.
Bosa, you know, he's a problem. He's just just a really good pass rusher. He's got tremendous hand usage, a get off. He's got an arsenal of moves, and it's hard to find him. He moves around. So we'll have our hands full with him.
Well, they're going to have their hands full with Joey Bosa. How about the other guy that's doing a great job of getting to the passer? That's Melvin Ingram.
Ingram is all over the place. Someone needs to do a statistical chart on this guy, how many miles he runs per game. He's the middle linebacker on their goal line defense. I mean, he's a rover on third down. He walks around. I don't know where the hell he is. He's going to play over the guard, over the edge. He's sideline to sideline. He runs like a linebacker. He's got defensive end type prototype size.
John Gruden sounds like he doesn't even want to show up to this game tonight.
No, he doesn't. I mean, the first one with the Thursday night game, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, man. I really don't like these Thursday night games, man. But he's, like, not energetic about a game at all. That's concerned. If I'm a Raiders fan, I'm really concerned right now because, like, our head coach doesn't even want to be here tonight. If he doesn't want to be here, what do you think the tone of the locker room is going to be? Everybody's like, nah, it's a Thursday game, man. I'm not really that interested.
Well, let's listen to John Gruden now talking about Phillip Rivers being an on-field coach.
He's a coach on the field. He seems like he has a green light to do a lot of things, and he has a lot of experience to draw from. They've got a great supporting cast. Now that their line is getting healthy, when you look at Melvin Gordon and Williams and Keenan Allen, the tight ends of force. They have a lot of weapons. And they play good enough defense to get them the ball here and there quickly. So that's the biggest problem is they can run it. And they got some weapons. And he's really good. Really good player. Great competitor,
and
too.
Talking about Oakland, some interesting comments there from the Oakland head coach, John Gruden. Let's go to the other sideline. Anthony.
Runner in the back and Jacob. So quarterback's playing pretty damn good, too. I mean, he's making a to me, he looks more confident this year, making better decisions, taking care of the football. I think he's second in National Football League in completion percentage. So they're doing a good job.
And Anthony Lynn also talking about how the Raiders are very tough to slow down.
It's a good football team. The team's built to run the football, and they built stop the running game. You know, their front seven is really, really big, powerful, and it's going to be tough to establish a run on this group. And vice versa, it's going to be tough to slow them down.
And again, we'll have the game for you right here on 97.3 The Fan, kickoff at 5:20. When we come back, don't go anywhere. Stay wherever you're at. If you're in your car, don't go anywhere. If you're at home, you know, you can water the plants here in a few minutes, but you don't want to miss this interview. Former longtime NFL executive, former chief operating officer of the San Diego Chargers, Jim Steig will join me next right here on 97.3 The Fan. And welcome back. Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock today. The John Quintero Show presented by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Open 24-7 right off the 5 in Chula Vista. 7 Mile Casino. We got Bench the Coach coming up here shortly. And anybody out there want to try to take me down today, get into the rotation right now. We got a couple of Aztec tickets for you a week from tomorrow night when they play host to Fresno State at SDCCU Stadium. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll also announce the biggest fan here shortly. But this is an interview I've been looking forward to. This is an interview that I always look forward to. I've got tremendous respect for this man. I've told you the last couple of days, probably the smartest man that I've ever talked to about the world of sports. And I'm talking about on the field, off the field, and all the things that go in with the sports franchises and the sport industry. Great honor to welcome once again to the program, Jim Steig. Jim, welcome. How are you?
Doing great. It's so great to hear from you, John. I mean, I can't believe how long it's been since we talked. I need people to build up my ego like that. It's nice to hear that.
Hey, before we get going and talking about, you know, the London rumors with the Chargers and, you know, some of the other things that are going on right now, catch us up on what you're doing.
Well, I'm playing a lot of golf, not playing it very well. finding out the time you want to play golf is about the time you shouldn't be playing golf, you know, when you get older. But involved in things here with our club, you know, I'm on the infrastructure committee in charge of all the roads, and I've been doing a lot of speaking in this area around here. And believe it or not, I'm doing a lot of work with the UNC women's soccer program. I got to know when I first moved here, I got to know Anson Dorrance, who's mm-hmm. the legendary coach here, you know, greatest women's soccer coach ever. And they were moving into a new stadium, and he wanted to figure out a way to try to fill it. And so I've been working with him trying to get things done, and just won the ACC for the third year in a row and off to the NCAAs next week. So that's been fun to do, being around the program and looking at the unlimited potential that you've got there with the women.
Great stuff. We're visiting with Jim Stieg, longtime NFL executive, and, of course, spent time here in San Diego as the chief operating officer of then San Diego Chargers. Jim, I know you're so dialed in with the National Football League, and, you know, you spent a good number of years here in San Diego. I think while you were here, you were in charge of the organization. You guys had 48 consecutive sellouts, and I know you're disappointed that team's not here in San Diego any longer, even though you'd left the organization. But what do you make out of what came down the other day as far as, you know, the rumors about the Chargers going to London and Dean Spanos coming out of his office with that profanity-laced statement to the media?
Well, you know, Coach, I being around this, and particularly the last 4 or 5 years I was there in town, you know, when I was involved with the CSAG stuff with the mayor and everything, it can't be to the point that nothing happens per chance. You know, as it relates to Chargers, particularly when Mark Fabiani's around, and a lot of it is orchestrated in some way, shape, or form. I think that this article that came out by Vinny Bonsignore, who I think we all recognize was a person that Fabiani had befriended, that's probably the kind word to say, you know, mm-hmm. when he was Daily News and then the Orange County Register. I find it kind of beyond belief that Vinny would have written this article without calling Mark to get their comment on it. So somehow I just, you know, you kind of smell that there's something going on there. And the fact that, you know, you had the Fred Moss comments on in the paper over the weekend in Union Tribune, right? And then this breaks, and then you have the issues that took place with this. I don't think there's any way in the world that the Chargers, if they were going to go to London, I don't think the Chargers would be the choice, you know, for them to go there. But I think that this is one of those things, and maybe it's the fact is, how do you get out there and say, you know, we're staying in L.A., we're staying in L.A., we're staying in L.A., because that may be one of the things they think that's costing them in selling their PSLs or something like that. So I just get this suspicion that there's a lot of orchestration going on here about this. And it happens, of course, before they have a Thursday night game, you know, where they got national attention, that sort of stuff. And, you know, I think it probably backfired a little bit, you know, with everything that's happened nationally. I mean, I was just listening to Chris Russo as I was driving back to the house, and he went off on a rant for about 5 minutes about it. So, and you probably heard last night at the, the Wilbon show that he does on ESPN, they went off on it too, although it was ironic that they kept calling him the San Diego Chargers during that whole discussion. But, I think we all enjoy that when that happens. But, yeah, I think this was a little orchestrated in what was taking place. And, I don't know what the true purpose was, but I think you did a great job. I think I heard something last night that you did. You talking about the fact that going to London, I think, for a team is very problematic. You know, it's as simple as I think you put it at the end of your statement, just look at the tax ramifications of the players. Forgetting all the logistical issues you've got trying to play over there and bring teams over there and things like that. So I think that's way down the road. It is something I'm sure Roger Goodell wants to do, but it's a long ways off at this point.
Jim Stieg, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. Jim, tell me your thoughts on the Charger move to Los Angeles, knowing that the Rams were going to go in there and knowing that they were going to have to share a stadium.
Well, I just never quite thought that worked. I mean, I lived through, you know, my time in New York, you know, when the Jets moved out of Shea and then moved in as a co-tenant, allegedly, with the Giants. But the Giants were the primary tenant. You know, it was Giants Stadium that the Jets were playing in. You know, home games for the Jets at Giants Stadium never quite played well. And it was never a great marriage that took place. And you had two guys that liked each other. You know, Leon Hess and Wellington Mara were friends. And so that was about as good as it could get, but it still became a very big struggle. And the Jets were always a kind of a second-class citizen to the Giants, and there's always a number one and number two. And when you get in that situation, we share in the stadium. So I think that was a lesson that everybody learned. I'm not sure that the league was so hell-bent to make sure they got the Rams deal moved, got him out of St. Louis, got him into L.A., that they were willing to almost do anything to make that happen. And I don't think they ever thought that Dean was going to take them up on the option to go there. You know, and I felt for a long time that that was his move. I thought this from, you know, the middle of the last decade, that was kind of what he always wanted to get done and chase that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But it certainly has not worked out very well. And it's I think one of the mistakes the league made this year was when they played that Steeler home game on primetime on Sunday night. that was a big mistake. Anyway, we can always know that Denver played 2 weeks before with a primary Bronco crowd in there, but that was a point-to-point broadcast. You make a national broadcast and everybody sees it, you know, it brings it up to even a bigger issue. So, I don't think it's worked out like everybody thought it was going to work out. And it's going to take a while for that to happen. But, you know, I know everybody always talks about the increase of the value of the franchise. But remember, the franchise only increases in value if you want to sell it. You know, so it's like the old case of the guy when you go out and buy your house. And somebody tells you 5 years later it's worth $500,000 more. That's great. Maybe it helps. Maybe it makes you unhappy because you got to pay more property taxes. But it doesn't mean anything until you sell it.
We're visiting with Jim Stieg here on 97.3 The Fan. Jim, obviously at Carson, you know, they're charging a lot of money for tickets, a lot of money for parking. They say when they move into the new stadium next year, you know, the tickets going to be more affordable. But they're having a hard time right now selling this PSLs. I talked to a guy the other day with a very prominent company, and they have 8-season tickets. And when they got ready to, you know, purchase or at least talk to the Chargers about it, for the 8 tickets, it was going to cost them $160,000. And this is a pretty a national company, and they said they bowed out. And I would imagine there are a lot of other companies that are going to bow out.
Well, I think the whole PSL concept, which, you know, was really started here in Charlotte, you know, with when the Panthers, when they built their stadium back in the mid-90s, that was the beginning of the PSL thing. And I think it ran for a while, but it's kind of run its course now, because even in the case of the Panthers, their PSLs were just permanent, yet all of a sudden about 3 or 4 years ago, they said, oh, well, it expired. You know, we got to go out and charge it again because we want to renovate the stadium again. So, yeah, I think that idea is, you know, the Giants, I take us at the lead thing, they always said that they had X number of people that were on their wait list and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, the Giants fans were as loyal as any fans you could ever have. And all of a sudden they went out with their PSLs and they struggled to sell PSLs. And so I think it's not an easy thing to get done, particularly when you're going into a new market when you don't have any loyalty about it. So I think it's very difficult to get there. And I always said the toughest thing with this is how much does it cost you to go to a game? And for somebody, if they're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, even without the PSLs, to shell out $2,000 to go to, you know, 2 football games a year, or to go to, you know, 2 season tickets, that's a lot of their disposable income after tax. So I think it always has to, and that's a problem the NFL's got across the board.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you this. You think Roger Goodell, you worked in that office long before Goodell did, and for many years while Goodell was in the office, not in the commissioner's role, but do you think he's embarrassed about what's going on in L.A.?
Yeah, I think privately he probably wishes he could figure out a way to handle it differently, because he knows that's probably going to be part of his legacy, is what happened in L.A. You know, Roger was put in charge of the L.A. project back in the mid-90s. You know, and obviously it took till 3 years ago for it to come to fruition. But I think he knows that's part of his legacy when he's evaluated, you know, after he's done with his career and what happened. And right now, you know, we're not going to know how successful that's going to be for another 3 or 4 years.
You know, the last question I would have for you, you were on that CSAG committee, and I remember I was so excited when you got named along with eight other people. I figured, boy, if Jim Steig's on this committee and we can't get a stadium here, then I guess we're just not destined to get a stadium. Well, we don't have a stadium, and that, you know, we're sitting here now still trying to figure out how we could get a stadium down the road. If you were able to have your crystal ball and put together an idea for a stadium in San Diego, how would you go about doing it?
Well, I thought the plan we had with the CSAG was a pretty good one. You know, as far as, you know, that property there, which I know we always talk about it being 166 acres, and in reality it's 211 acres because there's 45 acres around it that could be done with. And there were a lot of ways to get things done, you know, working with the state to help with environmental protection stuff around the San Diego River and, you know, that sort of stuff. I think you can sell the original plan that Dean had back in 04 and 05 was a great plan. You know, let us sell off part of the land and pay for the stadium and have somebody privately finance the stadium in some way, shape, or form. Now, stadiums aren't $450 million like they were in 04 and 05. They're now at least, you know, and a San Diego stadium is probably going to be cheaper than any other place just because of the weather. You know, look at how it's designed right now and the energy you can take because you're not worried about it raining or snowing or anything like that. So I think that there's something to be done. It can be done. It is a little bit cheaper, but what's that cheaper? You know, $500 million cheaper. It's still $1.5 billion, $1.5 billion, $1.7 billion or something like that. But I think the property value assessed for that was like a $3 million an acre if it was entitled. And if you ever got that and you sold some of that off, you could help pay for a lot of it. And that original plan in 04, 05 was a great plan. It just, you know, we had a Gary in the middle of it and stuff like that, which caused a lot of problems. And so I think that was a way to get it done. I think the site is a great site. It was, you know, where else could you put a site that you have two major roadways, right? And then you were talking about the fact, what was it, the Purple Line is going to be built along there, you know, for mass transit. So, and you already have mass transit there as a site, you know, the trolley. So it was just such a great site that could be done so much with. But I think there's somebody that could come in there and do something and sell it off. I look at what happened first times I remember going to San Diego, and you and I didn't know each other back in those days, but that old property, it was the Fenton property, which I guess now was called the Fenton Marketplace.
Right.
Remember, that was just a barren piece of land.
Yeah.
And we put the NFL Experience there back in 88 because it was just nothing. And look what happened with that. You know, what's going on there and then across the street, all the development that happened there. So there's a way to fund it to get there. And I think we came up with some ideas, some of which were going to be dependent on paying rent, you know, and what you're going to do with parking and stuff like that. But I still think that's the way to go. I mean, times have changed. It's been, what, 5 or 6 years since CSAG, 5 years since we did that. So a lot of things would have to be looked at again. But I still think that's the best site. Where, I don't know where else you're going to find 80 acres to be able to put a stadium.
Yeah, no.
You know, a minimum of stadium is going to take you 30 to 35 acres.
Yeah, no question about that. Hey, Jim, we'll do this again. Tell Jill I said hello, and great to hear your voice, and always puts a smile on my face when you and I are chatting.
Well, we got to do it sometime. We got to get back and talk baseball one of these days, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
It's still our old passions, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Jim, have a great day, and good luck with the soccer.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Coach.
There you go. Jim Steig, some really interesting comments from longtime NFL executive and former chief operating officer of the San Diego Chargers. We're going to get to bench the coach here momentarily, but right now, Dylan Farr, you're our biggest fan today. You have 10 minutes to give us a call back at 833-288-0973. Congratulations. You've won a pair of tickets to see Dana Carvey at Harrah's Resort SoCal on September 1st and be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner as well, the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Again, Dylan Farr, you're our winner today. You got 10 minutes at 833-288-0973. We're going to get to our Bench the Coach today, and Bench the Coach, as always, is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans 2019 Pro Football Pick'em. Make your picks now for a chance at $1,000. Totally free to enter. Text football to 20357. Text football to 20357.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, let's bring in Sean today from San Diego. Sean competing for tickets to the Aztec game next Friday against Fresno State. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for playing the game today, and best of luck to you, Sean.
Thank you very much.
All right, earlier today we had Mark Neville on, the CEO of the Holiday Bowl, talking about some big events the Holiday Bowl is doing. I want to know, however, who has appeared in the Holiday Bowl the most? Top five teams appearing in the Holiday Bowl. Like I said, looking for the top five. Number one has 11 times, and there's three teams tied for third with four. So we're looking for a team that's been in 11 times, a team that's been in five times, and three teams that have been in the Holiday Bowl four times. On to you, Sean. Let's see what you got. Can you name me a team that's been in the Holiday Bowl one of the top five times?
BYU.
That's correct. BYU, number one on the list. They have appeared in the Holiday Bowl 11 times in their history. On to you, Coach.
I'll say Iowa. Really?
That's incorrect. Iowa has not appeared in the top five times in the Holiday Bowl. Back to you, Sean.
San Diego State.
Unfortunately, San Diego State's only appeared in the Holiday Bowl one time. They lost that game. On to you, Coach.
Okay, let's see here. Let's see here.
I'll give you a hint. The remaining teams are Pac-12 and Big 12 teams.
Yeah, well, I know that. How about Kansas State?
Incorrect.
Really?
On to you, Sean. We're looking for a Pac-12 or a Big 12 school.
Let's go with Arizona.
Incorrect. Arizona's not one of the top teams.
How about the University of Washington?
That is correct. Washington.
Yeah.
I think we're, tied at one now?
Yeah.
He has BYU. You have Washington. Washington has appeared in the Holiday Bowl four times. On to you, Sean.
Okay. So is it still within another Pac-12 school?
We got one more Pac-12 school left. We have a Big 12 school, and we have a former Big 12 school.
Okay. Washington State?
That is correct. Washington State is also tied for four times. Two schools left, Coach.
How about Oklahoma State?
Man. If Sean gets it next, he wins. We got two schools left, Sean.
We got about a minute to go,
too. One is currently in the Big 12, and one team used to be in the Big 12, now in the Big 10.
Oh, God. But not the Pac-12. Pac-12's over, right?
Pac-12's done.
There's no.
We got about a minute left here.
Kansas?
Not Kansas. Idea, yeah. Close.
Nebraska.
That is correct. Nebraska, and that goes to Coach right there. The other team that you guys did not get, the number two team of all time in the Holiday Bowl.
Doesn't he get an opportunity to still go again?
That's fine. You got one more chance. The number two team appeared in the Holiday Bowl five times. They're very prominent in the Big 12 each and every year. Need an answer, Sean?
You got 5 seconds.
I don't have an answer.
I'll go with Mack Brown and the Texas Longhorns.
That is correct, the Texas Longhorns.
All right, there's our Bench the Coach, 3 out of 4. We're going to be coming back with hour number 3. How about Nomar Mazara? Could he be headed to the Padres? We'll tell you next on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.